Treshir is Masechet Chul and Daf Lamed Ches. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. Two lines from the bottom. It says, Gemara Ashkechinu Shmuel Talmidei the Rav. Shmuel met the Talmidim of Rav. Amalei, and he asked Amalei, who he said to them, My Amar Rav Mesukenes. As we've been learning the sugyas of Mesukenes, an animal that's quite ill. The Gemara has been, the Mishnah and the Gemara have been discussing under what circumstances may we eat the meat of that animal? When may we not eat the meat of that animal? So Shmuel was interested in knowing what Rav had to say about the halacha of Mesukenes. Amalei, to which they said, Hachi Amar Rav. Rav said, Goya, if the animal is crying out, or Tilareya, it expresses waste, or Kishkisha Be'ozna, it moves its ear. In all these cases, he said, Hareza Pirchus, this is a proof that the animal experienced Pirchus. And as we discussed in our previous shiur, if the animal exhibits Pirchus, that's a proof that the animal had enough vitality, and the Shechita is, if the Shechita was done properly, you may eat the animal. Hareza Pirchus, all these are considered situation of Pirchus. Amalahu, and Shmuel asked the Talmidim Rav, Istrachei la'aba la'azuzi oni, does Rav have to say that in order to be considered Pirchus, that has to move its ear? Shani Oimer, I disagree, says Shmuel, and I say, Kol she'ena dvarim shamisa oisa, anything that the animal does, which is not normally caused by death, and he immediately explains, that's enough to be considered Pirchus. And he explains, what are examples of things that are caused by death? Amar of Anan, Ladim Mefash Leminedim HaShmul, Hoysi Yad HaKafufa, if the hand of the sick animal was bent, V'Pashtasa, and then it reaches out of hands, it pulls out the hand, that's David Shamisa Oysam, and it's not considered pircha. However, pashta v'chafafa, if it was straight out and then it bent the back, if the animal's hand was straight and then it would bent it, that's dvarim she'ena misa'isa, that's not caused by death, and that's why it would be considered pirchas. The same for Torah Chaim points out that the only thing that Shmuel pointed out was on the ear. Why did he pick that from more than anything else, because that's considered a real act of pirchus, and certainly that would be considered pirchus. But the other cases, as we're going to see in the Gemara soon, are not really full-fledged cases of pirchus, and since they're not really full-fledged cases of pirchus, Shmuel did not pick them to ask from. The Gemara says that Shmuel called Rav Abba. Why didn't he call him Rav? So I saw a number of pshatim. Rashi explains that he called him Abba and didn't call him Rav out of respect. He didn't want to call him Rav. He only called him Abba out of respect. Then there's another explanation, just the opposite, that really Rav's name was Abba. And throughout Shas, the reason he's called Rav is because he was such an important person. That's why he was called Rav. But Shmuel, who was his friend, who was Rav's friend, called him Abba because that was his real name. The reason why he used this name is because he was asking him a question which one could consider was not such a strong question. That's why he called him that name. So there's a very interesting discussion. According to the opinion that his name was Abba, and that was his name was Abba, and Shmuel, as we said, that his name was Abba, either that's why Shmuel called him that way, or he called him Altsch Shivas. The question that the Chidah says is what's the halacha of somebody's father's name is Abba? And And your children obviously call the father Abba. What's the halacha? Are you allowed to call your father Abba, which we know means father, if that's his name? So the Chidah says that as long as you're showing respect to your father, the fact that he's called, that his name is Abba and you call him Abba is not an issue. But many Paiskim want to connect this to the way we learn our Gemara. If we're going to say that Abba was Rav's name, and the only reason Shmuel was comfortable in calling him by that name was because they were friends, so that would be a raya that everybody else cannot call him Abba, even though Abba also has other connotation. But if we say Abba represents, as we know it normally does, a title of respect, then maybe you would be allowed to call this person Abba, even you might be allowed to call his father Abba, even though that's his name. So our Gemara has been discussing what is considered an act of Pirchus. And we learned in our Mishnah that there's a machloikish. The opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel is that Pirchus is only considered Pirchus if both the hand and the foot move. The Chama of the person, of the opinion, that Pirchus is, even if just one of them did Pirchus. Says Tosfos that the machloikish of Rav and Shmuel that we just learned is really connected to the machloikis that we had in the Mishnah. Rav holds like Rav Shimon Gamliel that takes a strict opinion of Pirchus, and therefore Rav also said that only if the animal was goya, it made a sound, or it expressed waste, which are very strong acts of Pirchus, would be considered a valid Pirchus. However, Shmuel, says Tosfos, holds like the Chamim, who have a much more lenient approach to Pirchus. And therefore Shmuel says that you don't have to have such a strong act of Pirchus. The halacha is it's still considered a vact of a Pirchus. Says the Gemara, my Kamashmon. So ask Shmuel. Shmuel is telling us that Kfifa Sayad is considered, that putting out the hand is considered an act of Pirchus. Ask them, isn't that something that we learned in the Mishnah? The Mishnah says, Behemadaka Shaposhta Yada, if a Behemadaka spread out his hand at the time of Shechita, V'loich Zira, and it doesn't put it back, Psula. Sheina Alatzos Nefesh, because that's a sign of expiration, of death, not a sign of Pirchus. Hag Zira, where we see from here that if it stretches out of hands and then puts it back, it's Pirchus. And therefore the Mishnah is, the Halacha is Kosher. So that's the case. What does Shmuel mean to say when he tells us the Kfifus Yad is an act of Pirchus? Isn't that what the Mishnah taught us? Answers the Gemara. Ima Masnisa haven't been a Dafka Kaifa Poshtva the Kaifa. That when is it considered an act of Pirchus? If only at the time of Shechita the hand was bent back, then it stuck out its hand, and then it brought it back. And that's what the Mishnah says, seemingly. Poshta Yada Vloyer Zira. But the Mishnah seems to teach us only because it was Poshta Yada Vloyer Zira. But if it would be Poshta Yada Vir Zira, it would be Pirchus. Aval, why would be the halacha if at the time of death the hand was Pshuta, was stuck out, for Kafsasa, and then it bends it back? We would think that that is not enough to be an act of Pirchus. Kamash loy, it's not considered an act of Pirchus. Kamashmal comes Shmuel to teach us that even if at the time of death the animal's hand was stretched out and all it did was bring it back, that is going to be considered a act of Pirchus. The Rashi points out that this discussion is only by Behema Daka, as the Gemara said. But if it's not at a Behema Gassa, everybody will agree that if the hand was bent back and then it stretched it out, it would be considered an act of Pirchus. So according to Shmuel, says the Gemara Meisvei, asked the Gemara Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yohayir Amei Omer, Goya B'Sha Shechita, if it yells at the time of Shechita, ain't a Pirchus. It's not considered an act of Pirchus. Rabbi Lazar B'Yossi Omer Mishmai, I feel a tail ray of a kishkisha, even if it expressed waste or it wagged its tail, ain't ze pirchus. It's not considered pirchus. So ask the Gemara, kasha goya goya. So now we have a stira. Here the Brisa says that yelling out is not a pirchus, and the Rav says it is. And kasha rei rei, here it says that it's not expressing waste is not pirchus, and Rav says it is pirchus. Answers the Gemara, goya loy kasha. The question of goya is not really a stira, because it depends what kind of sound it emitted. Hada every kala, if it gives out a strong sound, a loud sound, then it's pirchas. Hada ami kala, but if it's very low sound, a weak sound, it's not pirchas. And furthermore, says the Gemara, reya rei nami lakasha, can bishay sesas, if it gives out the waste right next to its body, then it's not going to be pirchas. But if it spreads the waste far away from its body, it will be considered an act of pirchas. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chisda, pirchas amru, when they said in our Gemara that pirchas is considered, that it's the mesukenis, that's pirchas, is kshera, the question the Gemara begins now to debate, at what point of the animal's death did the pirchas take place? B'soif shchita, at the end of the shchita, b'emtsa shchita, or even in the middle of the shchita. And the question, the way the Mefarshim explained the Gemara, there are a number of ways of explaining this Gemara. Some say that what the Gemara means to say is that if it had vitality in the middle of the shchita, that's a raya that it's a healthy animal. Lefuki, says the Gemara, at this point, the Gemara is saying, t'chila shchita, that if the pirchas was at the beginning of the shchita, everybody will agree, deloy, that it's not going to be considered an act of pirchas, because, on the contrary, because that if the pirchas was at that early stage, it died not because of its, because it was a healthy animal, it died because it was mesukenis. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chisda, Mano Aminalei, how do I know, says Rav Chisda, that Pirchas means during the middle of the act of Shechita? Tanan, the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Zayin teach Torahs, Behemadaka Pashta Yodob, if the Behemadaka stuck out its hand, V'loi Zira, and didn't bend it back, Psula. So ask the Gemara, exactly at what point did this take place? Amos, Ilayim B'soiv Shechita, if you'll say it stuck out its hand at the end of death, so ask the Gemara, is there an expectation that the animal has to keep on living even after Shechita? That at that point it's not enough of a pirchas? Elav, says the Gemara, b'emtsa Shechita. And what happens here was that even if it didn't come back, then the sticking out the hand is not considered pirchas. So we see from here that the pirchas that we're speaking about is not besoif shchita, it means the middle of the shchita. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rava, so Rava disagrees with Rav Chisda. And Rav Chisda says that if what we mean here is loyal besoif shchita, that the pirchas that the Mishnah is talking about took place after the shchita. So the question that we asked is why, if it didn't bend back its hand, is a puzzle? Is there an expectation that the animal has to continue to live? Says the Gemara, Rav Chisda, says Rav to Rav Chisda, Shani Oimer, my opinion is, kosh en oisuke besoif shchita, if it doesn't do so at the end of shchita, what that is a proof is bidush neshmasim not lo medikai mokain, it must have died even before the shchita was over. And since it died before the shchita is over, it's a nevela. Nachman Yitzchak, however, takes the most lenient opinion. And he says, when our Mishnah says that if you have pirchas, it's a raya that the animal died because of the shchita, is even if the pirchas took place at betchila shchita. So we have three opinions. One pirchas take place. According to Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, even if it took place at the beginning of the shchita. According to Rav Chisda, only if it took place in the middle of shchita. And according to Rava, on the contrary, it has to be at the end of the shchita. So the shita explains that what is the basis of this machlokes, that everybody agrees that what we're looking for is that the animal remain alive until the shechita is over. Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak's opinion is that if the animal died at the did pirchas at the beginning of shechita, that's a proof that this animal is going to survive until the end of the shechita. According to Rav Chisda, that is not enough. Rav Chisda says that if the pirchas took place at the middle of the shechita, that's a proof that this animal is dying because of the shechita, not because of any disease. And according to Rava, it has to be at the end of the shechita. Any pirchas that takes place earlier is not a proof that the animal was strong enough. The shechita brings a different explanation. According to Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak, that as long as the animal has some vitality at the time of its death, that's enough that it should be not considered musukenis. And therefore, even if there was pirchas at the beginning of the shechita, that's good enough. According to Rav Chisda, Rav Chisda requires more vitality. And therefore, if it didn't do pirchas at the middle of the shechita, we're concerned about the status of this animal, because maybe by the time the shechita came to an end, it wasn't really focused, was dead already, not because of the shechita. And according to Rava, you need this pirchas at the end of the shechita, to that shows that this animal had a lot of strength and was able to make it past the shechita. The Behag has a different explanation of this machlokes. It goes back to machlokes that we've discussed many times already in our Masechta. When we speak about shechita, do we say, yeshna l'shechita metchila v'atzoif? How does the halacha view the act of shechita? Does the act of shechita begin at the beginning of the shechita, or ein l'shechita el b'soif? Does the act of shechita only consider an act of shechita at the end of the shechita? If that's the way, says the Behag, that we're going to learn, so our Gemara becomes much easier to understand. If you say that the Shechita begins at the beginning of the Shechita, so then, fantastic. If they did Pirchas during the beginning of the Shechita, that's all we're looking for. But if you hold Ein L'Shechita El L'Psoif, then the Pirchas has to take place at the end has to take place at the end of the shechita. Amar Chisda, it says the Gemara, Amar Nachman ben Yitzchak, Menoa ani mina lo. Says Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak, from where do I take that pirchas that even took place at the beginning of the shechita is enough? The Tanaim we learned in our Mishnah, Amar Shimon Hashoichet b'layla, if somebody shechs an animal which is mesukenis by night, and we didn't see if the animal did pirchas or it spit blood or it spattered blood, that as we learned, that that's a siman that the animal is a healthy animal. And the morning he found that the walls of the neck of the neck and animal are full of dam, ksheirim. That's a proof that the animal is kosher. Shizinka, that's a proof that it spit blood. Because if it didn't spurt blood, it just spilled blood, it wouldn't look that way. Says the Gemara, Ukamidus Rebbe Lazar, that Rebbe Lazar taught us in the Mishnah that spurting blood is enough of a proof that this animal is healthy enough. Vama, and as we just said, Vama Shmuel, in explaining that opinion of the Mishnah, when we say kaisel, we mean kaisel based on shechita shenina. We're talking the walls, we're talking about the neck. So Nadagmar makes its point. Yeah, b'shlam b'tchilas shechita, if we're going to say the pirchas or zinuk that take place at the beginning of the shechita, shapar or adequate, so now we could understand that even if the zinuk took place at the beginning of shechita, it's good enough. Eli Amrit, if we're going to say, as Rav is suggesting, that the only time it's adequate, it's a good sign, is if it took place besoif shechita, so now when we see the neck full of blood, we should be concerned. We didn't see what happened. It was night. It was dark. So why should we not be concerned that the zinuk took place at the beginning of the shechita, and therefore it's not a proof of vitality? And if you'll say, Dilma Shani Zinuk Da'adif, that everybody will agree that zinuk is a strong sign of vitality, and therefore everybody will agree that the zinuk took place at the beginning of the shechita, it's good enough. Ask the Gemara, or me, Adif, is that a plausible approach? For Tanan, the Mishnah said, Rebbe Lezer, Oimer, Daya Mzinik. Doesn't Daya mean that Zinuk is good enough. Isn't that indicate that Zinuk is not stronger than Pirchus? But Rabbi Lez is saying, I'm going to be satisfied with, Rabbi Lez says, I'm going to be satisfied with Zinka. Says the Mara, this is the way to understand the Mishnah. Kal Midra Gamliel, it's less of a Pirchus than Rabbi Gamliel, because as we learned, Rabbi Gamliel's requirement is that they do Pirchus both with the feet, with the front leg and the back leg, but all the midrabbanan. But it's more than what the rabbanan say, that zinuk with the hand or the foot is good enough. So now we could understand what Rabbi Lezer said, daya, because we don't need what Rabbi Gamliel says, but we do. But it's still not as strong as the rabbanan. So now the question is that how that Zinuk maybe is better than Pirchus. And only Zinuk will be good at Tchila Shechita because it's stronger than the Rabbanon's Pirchus. But it wouldn't be, but the regular Pirchus we're speaking about will need to be placed at the end of the Shechita. Amarvina, Amali Sama Bachikloi, Akshaba Avuba Avram, the father of the son of Avram, which actually means of Avram. So why was he called that way? So all the Mepharshim explained that apparently his son was more famous than the father. And since the son was more famous than the father, people identified him because he was his son's father. Namila Achad Bab Avram, he was the brother of the son of Avram. And again, it's the same point, that he was famous because of his brother. Ask the Gemara, Medrabonami Adif, are we saying, can we say that Zinuk is better than the Pirchus of the Rabbanon? As of a time, we have learned in the Mishnah, Cham Oimrim, Ad Shet Parchus Oy B'Yara B'Regel. The Ad means that you have to have the hand or the feet. Says the Gemara, who are the Rabbanon, points out the Gemara, who are the Rabbanon addressing? Rabbanon Ahai Kaimu, who are they addressing? Ilema Ad Rav Gamliel, that says that you have to have Pirchus both in the front and the back. And the Rabbanan are being more lenient, and they're saying that one Pirchus, the front or the back, is enough. So the word should be Kimet Shepirchus. If you had just the front or the back, it's good enough. El Pshita, that they're addressing Rabbi Lezer. And Rabbi Lezer is saying that you need Zinka, and they're saying Zinka is not good enough. You have to have Pirchus on the front or the back. The Adif, but if they agree that Zinuk is a stronger act, a stronger proof of vitality, then the word should not be my ad. They should have said, Kivin Shepirchus, you're telling me, the Rabbanan should be telling Rabbi Lezer, you're saying, do Zinuk, and we're saying that Zinuk is not good enough, we need to do more. But if they meant to say that's less, they shouldn't have said ad, they should have said Kivin. Says the Gemara, and as we learned, Rava's opinion is that Pirchus is done. Rava Amar Pirchus Amar B'Sayv Shechita. When we speak about Pirchus, it's Pirchus that takes place at the end after the Shechita. That is the proof that this animal was not a Mesuket. There is a question amongst the Rishonim. What does that mean? That you have to have, Rava says you have to have Pirchus B'Sayv Shechita. The Mishnah said that Zinuk is good enough. So Taisu says that according to Rava, that Zinuk, what was the Gemara's question? That maybe the Zinuk took place at the beginning of the Shechita. Rava says that's not something, Taisu says Rava is not concerned, and Rava says that there's very rarely Zinuk at the beginning of the Shechita, and if Zinuk is always at the end of the Shechita, and that's why Zinuk is good enough, given that Rava holds you always have to have the Simen at the end of the Shechita. The Ritva has a whole different explanation. We learned that the Zinuk we're speaking about is the Zinuk on the walls of the neck. But when we learned the Mishnah, we learned that it's talking about the walls of the house. He says that when the Zinuk took place, we're talking about an animal that moved during the Shechita. And if the shechita, at the end of the shechita was near the wall, at the beginning of the shechita, it was closer to the wall. So the fact that we see where the blood spurted is an indication what when the zinik was. And we're going to need to have an indication that the zinik was at the end of the shechita. Says Rava, as we just learned, Rava's opinion is that you have to have zinik the gemash shechita. Amar Rava mina amila. Segment of the pasuk says, Shara kesav ha'ez ki yivaleid, v'hoya shivis sham tachas imai, v'yayim ha'shvina v'hala, v'yiratzu l'karben isha la'ashem. So we learn from the pasuk, Shar ha'kesav pratel klayim. It has to be a shar ha'kesav, not klayim. And there's a beautiful explanation from the Malbim how to approach this gemara. He says, usually when the Torah wants to say the word or, it uses a vav, like shar v'chesev. Only in a place where the vav can be misleading does the Torah use the word oy. And accordingly, says the Malbim, the wording of the pasuk should have been shar v'chesev v'eiz, with the vav. However, explains the Malbim, what the Gemara is teaching us, that if it would have said it that way, we might have believed that even if it's a combination of a shor v'chesev, it's a klayim, it's a mixture, it can be used for a carbon. That's why, says the Gemara, that the Torah went out of its way to use the word oy to teach us that klayim cannot be used. Oy eis prat l'nidma. If there's an animal born, a baby born, it doesn't look not like its mother or its father, it's disqualified. Kivaleid, probably from here we learn that an animal that was born with a cesarean section is not kosher for carbon. Shivis yomim, prat lemechusas man. If it's not 7 days old, an animal cannot be brought for a carbon before it's 7 days old. Tachas imay, prat leyosim. That an animal whose mother died cannot be used for carbon. And now the Gemara delves in. Hayosim hachidami. Exactly what is meant when we say about a yosim. Ilam di ladate imai. Therefore, to say that the mother that was born for hada mason, then the mother died. Why would that animal be disqualified? Asked Gemara. Loilam teich v'tezel. Is that animal only qualified to be a carbon if its mother lives on? Ella, it must be a case, the mesa, that the mother died. For hada yiladata, the mesa died. For hada yiladata. And of course, Tysus points out that the Gemara says in Baba Basra that if there's a mother who's pregnant, the baby will, and she dies, the baby will always die first. So how could it be possible that the baby should be born after the mother died? So Tysus says that when did the Gemara make that rule? Tysus says that that rule was only made when the mother was died by itself. If a mother dies from illness, whatever, she will die, the baby will die first. But if the mother was killed, it's possible that the mother will die and not the baby. Another pshat that Tysus suggests is that if the baby was in the mother's womb when the mother died, so then the halacha is that you can't bring that baby, that baby will not survive. But if the baby started being born, it already stuck out part of its body, then it could be born even after the mother died. So says the Gemara, the Mesa v'hada yilarata, that it died and then it was born, and they opened up the mother and took out the baby. But says the Gemara, if that's what happened, kivale nafka. We learned that only a baby that's born naturally can be brought as a carbon. If this animal was brought because the mother was opened up and the animal was extracted, then it's already disqualified. So el pshita, what is the case that we're talking about? Ze pirish lamisa. It died at the moment of death. And the mother died. The pirish l'chayim. And the baby survived. And since the mother wasn't around even for the shortest amount of time after the baby was born, that's why the baby is considered a yosim and may not use bio carbon. Says the Gemara, if we're going to say that in order for an animal to be considered a healthy animal, it had to be even after if we're going to say that it should be here even after the baby was born, it has to still survive somewhat. Now we understand that the pasuk is coming to teach us that even though the baby was born while the mother was alive, still, and it was born naturally, it's still not going to be used for a carbon because the mother did not survive past its birth. If we're going to say that the animal doesn't have to be alive till after the birth, why do we need the pasuk? The pasuk already will teach us that just like a yotze dofen is possible because the mother died before the baby was born, that this baby that was born and the mother did not survive should be in the same category as a yotze dofen. The fact that the pasuk needs a new limud, says Rava, from here we see that the Torah is teaching us that the mother, it's not considered that it died by Shechita, unless the animal was alive somewhat after the birth. And that's when we know that the animal died because of Shechita. Amar Rava, says Rava Hilchasa, the halacha is kohamas nisan, that the halacha is like this brisa that says behemadaka. When we speak about it, behemadaka shepashta yada v'loich zira, that stuck out its hand but didn't bend the back, psula. B'medvar mamurim, that says the brisa biyad, when the front legs avul beregel, the back leg bein pashta v'loich kafa, whether it stretched it out and not bend the back to its place, bein kafa v'loich pashta, says the Gemara, or if it bent the leg and didn't straighten it out. And all these cases are, it's going to be a kosher because it's going to be considered an act of pirchus. And as I saw, the Meiri explains, the back legs are heavier than the front legs. So the front legs are easier to move. And since the front legs are easier to move, you need more activity to show that it died because of the shechita. The back legs, which are heavier to move, as long as the back legs move, that's a raya that there was pirchus. Continue the Gemara, the Braisa, Memedvar Mamurim. When do we say that if it stuck out its leg, the front leg, but did not bend the back, it's not pirchus? That's only by Behemah Daka. Avul Gasa, as we explained earlier in the shir, that it takes more work. So bein biyad, bein beregel, then we don't differentiate between the front leg and the back leg. Bein poshtav loy kafafa, whether it struck it out, stretched it out but didn't bend it. Bein kafafa loy poshto, or whether bent and didn't stretch it out, kshera. And then says the Gemara, v'oif, when we speak about a bird, loy rifref el agapa, it only moved its wing, v'loy kashkash ela znova, it only wagged its tail. In these cases, hareza pirchus, the halacha is that it's considered a pirchus. So the question that I saw the Ran asks is, at the beginning of the Gemara said that even by an animal, wagging the tail is an act of pirchus. And now we're learning that a bird is less than an animal. So certainly by a bird, wagging the tail is pirchus. What's the Gemara trying to teach us? So he answers that maybe only by an animal is wagging the tail something that's pirchus. Why? Because it takes a lot of energy to wag a tail. But by a bird, wagging the tail is not considered a very serious act. And since it's not considered a very serious act, therefore, the halacha is that it's not considered. And therefore, maybe we think it's not an act of pirchus. Teaches us the Gemara, kishkus el znavai. The halacha is even if it wags its tail, hareiz a pirchus. Ask the mamai kamashmal and kulan tanani. Haven't we learned that? Behemadakish pashti yadav lagzir psula shein el atzos nefesh. So we learn yad in that the halacha is only by the yad, but the regal has different halachas. The halacha is daka in, that there's difference between a behema daka and a behema gasa. By behema gasa loy, pirchus is achieved much easier. And it says the Gemara, gapa itzruchlei. The chiddush here is to teach us what is the halacha by a bird, the loy tanan, that wasn't taught in the Mishnah. So the question is, why indeed did the Mishnah only feel the need to talk about behema daka and behema gasa, and not feel the need to talk about oif? So the simple answer that I saw is, since, as we just learned, that by an oif, there's a very simple, pirchus is accomplished very easily, so the Mishnah didn't start talking about the details. Anything is pirchus. The Beis Dovid says that we see that the Mishnah is not conclusive. The Mishnah teaches us that didn't talk about a chayi either. So the Mishnah is not going on all the details. There's an interesting question that the Rambam says. The Rambam Perek Beis, the Beis Bechira, Halacha Beis, says Mesoris Biyad Hakol Shemakim Shabana Ba David Shlem Mizbech Begoyin Aroina, the place where David Shlem built the Mizbech. Who are Mizbech Hikrav La Kain VeHevel? That's the Mizbech on which Kain VeHevel brought their Kabanas. Ba Hikrav Adam Rishon Carbon Shnivra, and that's where Adam Rishon brought his carbon when he was created. And the question is, we just learned in our Gemara that you can't bring a carbon until it's 7 days old. And here it was brought on the day that they were all created, so the Sefer Maasan Igron says that this halacha is only by an animal born from an animal. But the animals that were used for a carbon by Kayim Behevel were the animals that were created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. An animal which is created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not have this limitation that it can only be used by the seventh day. We're going to be discussing an animal that was brought for Shem Avodah Zarah. And we know that the Torah tells us that the Avodah Zarah is Kazifchei Mesim, and therefore it's Tamei. And the question now is, when a Jew brought a carbon, shechted a carbon on behalf of a Nachri, how do we look at that Shechita? So it says the Mishnah, somebody shechts an animal on behalf of a Nachri, the halacha is Shechitasik Sheira. We need not be concerned that it was brought to Avodah Zarah. Rabbi Elazar Paisel, because according to him, whenever we have a Nachri, we have to assume Stam Machshavas Ovi Kachavim, that the Machshava of a Nachri is L'shem of Avodah Zarah. Amar Belezer, even if the Jew owns the entire animal, Shachta Lech Levi Kachavim, but he wanted to give a Nachri to eat even a small portion of that meat, Mechatz HaKavitshla, from its diaphragm, Psula. Because as he says, Shem, Shtam HaVeres Kachavim, HaVeres Kachavim, we have to assume that the halacha, it was done with Shem Avodah Zarah. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yossi disagrees, and says, Kal v'chaymer, Advar, I make the following Kal v'chaymer. Umam Mokm Shem Achshav V'Psas Mekudoshim. If we speak, as we spoke very extensively, when we learned Masechta Zvachim Menachas, and we spoke about Pigel, and the halacha is, Enakal Heilach Echa Ovid. Who's the one that makes an animal disqualified because of Machshava? The person who's bringing the carbon. Ha'ovid, Enakal Heilach Echa Ovid, Makom She'enach Shevas Pesalos. So we speak here about a regular animal which is not being brought as a carbon, and adin shleya kol haylech echa shaychet. Certainly, we follow the shaychet's machshava, and the fact that the nachri has a machshava is unimportant. There's an interesting question: if a shaychet is shechting an animal for an akum, does he make a bracha? The Simel Chadash writes that as long as there's a possibility that a Jew may eat from this meat, we should make a bracha. The Pri Chodesh maintains that if the Shoichet knows that he's not going to check the lungs, which we're going to be discussing in Mitzvah Shem in the next parak, after the shechita, he doesn't make a bracha because if the lungs will not be checked, we may not eat that meat. The Shvus Yaakov says that if somebody shechs an animal for an akum during the 9 days when we're not allowed to eat it, says the Shvus Yaakov, since we're not going to eat the meat, we shouldn't make a bracha. However, the Ramah writes that in general, one should not shecht meat during the 9 days, only if his livelihood, only for people who are allowed to eat meat, and only if his livelihood depends on it. The Ramban and the Rashbah say that even though we pass like Rabbi Yossi, that Shaykh Lev Tekhavim Shchitasik Sheira, the halacha is it's only B'diyevet. We shouldn't rely on this L'chatchila, because the Tveres Yaakov explains that what it means is that the Nokri has a mind of Avodah Zarah, and by as we're learning, and we are machshel him by helping him have that machshava. The Ramban and Ran disagree. He says there's no lifnei ever, but he says that still l'chatchila one shouldn't shecht for a goy, and others disagree, and they say that we may l'chatchila shecht on behalf of a goy. Then there's another discussion, and that is, we just discussed the bracha. There's another question, if we shecht on behalf of a goy, that do we do kisui adam? Some say we certainly have to do kisui adam, but we should make a bracha on it. And others say that even if, as we just discussed, maybe we don't make a bracha, but we certainly do kisui adam. And not only do we do kisui adam, but we make a bracha on that kisui adam. Says the Gemara, Hani Tanoi, the Tanakhama that says that Yisrael the Shechs for Avkham Shchitosik Sheira, and Rabbi Lezer that says Shchitosik Psula, says the Gemara, Isla de Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Yosef, agree with Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Yosef, the Tanya, I'm Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Yosef, Shemati Shabalim Espaglim. I heard that the owner of the carbon, not just the person who brings the carbon, can make a carbon piggle. But, says the Gemara, so how will we understand a Mishnah? Tanakam Sova Ishamana de Choshev, if we hear him saying that it's been brought for Avodah Zarah, then it becomes disqualified. Eloi, but if we didn't hear him say it, loy. Because Shtamach Shavas Lavitz Kham Lavitz Kham Lamirim, we don't have no reason to assume that that is Machshava. For Belezer, Sova Afgab de Loy Shaminu de Choshev, even though we didn't hear him have that Machshava, Stamach Shavas Kham Lavitz Kham Lamirim, we say that the Stamach Shava of a Nochri is l'shem avodas kochavim, and therefore we may not eat it. And therefore, says the Marvos Rabbi Yosef Lameima, then Rabbi Yosef comes and teaches, Avgav the Shemino de Choshev, even though we heard him say that it's l'shem avodas zarah, zeh mechashev, even though the Nochri has that machshava, zeh oivid, but the Shoichit doesn't have it, lo yamrinin. Ikadamri, some explain that the Machloikus Tanakam Rabbi Lezer is the Shemino de Choshev pligi. Tanakam Masova, where is it that even though it's not the person bringing the carbon, the machshav of the owner counts? When the carbon was brought in the Beis HaMikdash as a carbon. Outside, chulin, al mishnah, loy. Because chutz, mipnim, dalocha, what happens by chulin, we don't learn from kabbonis. And just like by a carbon, the machshava of the owner counts, so too the machshava by chulin counts. Vas Rabbi Yosef Meimer, afilu b'fnim nami, even by a carbon, says Rabbi Yosef, zeh mechashev, if this person has the machshava, zeh oivid, if the owner has the machshava, but he's not doing any of the avoida, lo yamrinin. But here we're learning a new opinion. We're learning an opinion that if the owner, Rabbi Lezer holds that way, the Tanakama maybe holds that way, that if the owner has a machshava, it affects the quality of the carbon, even if they're not the one doing the avodah. So ask the Sefer Gemura Shmeinim. The Sefer Gemura Shmeinim has a question that he asked, and he has 80 terutzim to this question. That's why it's called Gemura Shmeinim. The site that brings the carbon mincha, we know, the Torah tells her. But if she, as she brings the carbon mincha, has an improper machshava, so that disqualifies the carbon. So every time she'll have that improper machshava, and it'll make the carbon non-usable. So one Teretzi offers that when is the machshava of the owner going to make a difference? By kachim kalim. Here we're talking about kachim kachim. And therefore, by kachim kachim, everybody agrees that the owner's machshava, it doesn't belong to the owner anymore, doesn't count. He says another answer that he suggests is this is kachim kachim that is, which is only eaten by the Kohanim. And something that's only eaten by the Kohanim, the Saita can make into puzzle. Another answer, he says there are different types of kabbonis. Typically, he says, the purpose of bringing a carbon is to affect kapara. And it's such a carbon, the owner's machshava can make a difference. But when the carbon is being brought just as a part of the process, then the halacha is that that type of a carbon can't, that the owner's thoughts don't make a difference. Another answer is that when is the owner's machshava make a difference according to these opinions? Only during the shechita. But the soita brings a carbon mincha. By carbon mincha, there's no shechita. Another answer is that only a carbon that a zor could, only by an avoida that could be done by the owner, by a zar, is the machshava of the owner going to count. But if it's a carbon being brought that the owner can never bring, can never do that avoida, it's a similar teretz like shchita, or it can't be brought on a bama. Another answer is that the halacha that the machshava of the owner can make a difference, it's only by a carbon that is brought by a man. Because then we could say the kohen is the shliach of the man. But a carbon brought by a woman, certainly her machshava can make a difference. As I said, another teretz is that it's something that's done on the, any carbon that can't be brought on the bama, the halacha is the machshava of the owner doesn't count. Another teretz that he suggests is that the machshava of the owner could only make a difference if the owner is standing in the azara. And what he says, the halacha is that the, make sure that the woman is not standing in the azara. And therefore, since it's brought in the she's not in the azara, therefore everybody will agree that a machshava doesn't make a difference. Another teretz that I saw is that the mincha site, that he says the mincha site is a chiddush, because usually a carbon mincha is not brought from Bali, and therefore it's a different type of a carbon where the owner, everybody will agree, cannot be mafagel. Another teretz is that it's a gzeiros akasif, and therefore that her machshava won't make a difference. Another teretz is, when could somebody's machshava make a difference? It can make a difference when you are the owner of the carbon, but the woman doesn't pay for the carbon. It's the husband who pays for the carbon. And since it's the husband that pays for the carbon, she can't make it piggle. Another teretz is that only if the kohen has no machshava and the owner has a machshava, so then the owner's machshava makes it possible. But if the kohen will have specifically machshava that it should be good, then even if she, the owner, has a bad machshava, then the halach is her machshava won't make a difference. Another teretz is that the carbon is really being brought not just to evaluate her situation, but to evaluate his situation. So he's also part of the machshava. And therefore, even if she had the machshava, not her, her machshava alone won't be enough to disqualify it. And the next teretz is the teretz that we've discussed. Whenever we speak about a disqualifying machshava, the question that comes up is, does it have to be said to be disqualifying, or is thinking enough? And we learned, it's machlokes Rashi and Tosfos versus the Rambam. Rashi and Tosfos says that it has to be expressed. Rambam says it could be thought. So according to Rashi and Tosfos, what we're going to do is make sure that we won't allow her to say anything. If we won't allow her to say anything, even
If she has a machshava, it will not be enough to disqualify the carbon.